Welcome. This is Father Mark Toops over at Christ the Redeemer Catholic Church in Thibodaux, Louisiana, welcoming you to the second Sunday of Lent, February the 25th, 2018, and therein welcoming you to week two of a series entitled Rescued. In the first week of this series, on the first week of Lent, we celebrated the good news that God wants us to encounter Him this Lent. God wants this Lent to be the best Lent we've ever had. God wants this to be a Lent where we know His voice, we know His presence. God wants us to see Him active and alive in our lives. And that's good news for a lot of us. Many of us in week one were encouraged because you need this year to be better than last year, or you need this Lent to be big, or you need a jump start in your spiritual life, or you need God to answer questions that have been a part of your relationship with Him for a long time. Week one was really encouraging for a lot of us because either A, we felt our desire for God, or we came face to face with God's desire for us. And it was all delivered in this beautiful message of how God wants to encounter us. God wants us to have an encounter of Him. Now, believe it or not, when it comes to God, when it comes to our relationship with God, in fact, when it comes to God getting really close to us, we can be as afraid of what might happen as we are of what might happen. Let me say that again. We can be as afraid of what might happen as we are of what might happen. Let me say that with you. And let's unpack that together. We can be afraid of what might happen. In other words, we can be afraid that we might, quote unquote, lose the feeling. A lot of us have felt God's presence in the past, haven't we? And then a lot of us have, quote unquote, lost that feeling. A lot of us have felt really close to God, and a lot of us have kind of felt like God kind of drifted away. Many of us know the experience of being close to God, and then not soon after that, feeling far away from God. So if God gets close, we can be afraid of what might happen. In other words, we can be afraid that we might lose the encounter that we tasted. However, we can be as afraid of not losing it. We can be afraid of God getting too close and then staying there. In other words, we can be as afraid of what might happen as we are of what might happen. We can be afraid that God won't leave us and that God's going to stick around and He wants to dwell in our hearts. And I see this all the time in relationships, especially seen in marriages, but it's the same in family life or in deep friendships, or perhaps for those of you who are dating. Let me give you a couple of examples. Let's pick two fictitious people. We're going to call them Adam and Eve, guy and a girl, just random names. Here's Adam. And Adam has a place in his heart that when people get too close, Adam pushes them away. Fictitious example here, but sometimes the examples are most personal when they are personal. So even as I share the example with you, let me say that I know that we're on holy ground, one reverent ground, as I share the example. Here's Adam, and let's just pretend that Adam had a very troubling childhood, especially around his relationship with his dad. Adam never felt like he measured up. Adam never felt like he was the son that his dad wanted. Adam never really felt like he had what it took to be a man. You know, all the different ways that kids feel like that, whether feeling inadequate on the playground or feeling like he never measured up to his dad's expectations or never feeling like he was as accepted or loved or as honored as his other siblings. But whatever it is, let's say Adam has his place in his heart from his childhood and from his relationship with his dad where he just struggled. And now Adam as a man is still trying to prove himself. He's still trying to prove that he's better than his siblings, or he's still trying to prove to his dad that he is somebody. And yet Adam is trying to do the best he can not to make the same mistakes as his own dad. He's trying to not father his children the way that he himself was fathered. And every time he makes a mistake or every time he doesn't live up to expectations, he pushes people away. And Eve, who's married to Adam, knows that. And every time that she gets too close to that wound in his heart, he pushes her away. And she knows what that feels like, and he hears from her when he does that. But let's just pretend that Adam has a place in his heart and he pushes people away because they're too close to the place of pain in his heart. Another example, and again, I share this with great tenderness, and I share this knowing that we are on holy ground, but the most personal examples are those that are most personal, right? So here's Eve, and Eve is a beautiful woman created in the eyes of God, and I don't know how it happened, but let's just say that at some point in Eve's life, she lost her innocence. In her own eyes, let's say that Eve lost her purity. It could have happened in childhood. It could have happened in her teenage years. And again, I say this with great reverence. Unfortunately, it could have happened without her permission. And there's a spot in Eve's heart where she feels a variety of emotions there. It could be shame. It could be pain. It could be fear. It could be anger. It could be lots of different things. But there's a place in Eve's heart where she pushes people away whenever they get too close there. And Eve is married to Adam. And every once in a while, for a variety of reasons or a variety of ways that quote-unquote that button gets triggered, whenever Adam gets too close to that pain in her heart, she pushes Adam away. Now, in both examples, I say with great reverence that we are on holy ground. Adam and Eve are just doing the best they can in life, and they're both beautiful people, but they both have places in their heart where when you get too close, they push you away. The same is true not only in our human relationships, but the same is true in our relationship with God. You see, what happens is sometimes we can be as afraid of what might happen, God leaving us, as we are of what might happen, God staying too close. And if we push people away when they get too close to the places of pain or hurt in our life, then the same is often true with God. Let me give you an example on a different way. When I was a kid, I was probably in high school, maybe eighth grade, and I remember at that season of my life loving to play basketball, and I remember jumping on the bike one day, and I was planning on going to the top of the neighborhood to play basketball with some friends of mine, and the brake cable on my bike had been loose all summer long, and I remember my dad telling me throughout the summer to fix that because if not, I was going to get in an accident. But you know, living carefree and responsibility free, you know, as a teenager, didn't listen to my dad. And so as I took off to play basketball that day, sure enough, as I was taking off down the street in full steam and full momentum, that brake cable got caught underneath the pedal. And as I was pressing down on the pedal with all of the force of my energetic body, that pedal got stuck in the brake cable and propelled me in the air. As the bike flipped over, I flipped over with it. And I remember coming down not only onto the street, the concrete, but as I did that, my ankle sliced into the pedal itself, and I was bleeding all over the place. So I remember hobbling to the house. Mom and Dad brought me to the emergency room, and the nurse was just doing the best that she possibly could. The nurse at the emergency room was doing everything that she was supposed to do. She was trying to help me, and what she was doing was going to eventually bring healing into my life. But as she stuck the first needle into the wound, I remember not expecting that, and it hurt a lot. So what do you think I did when she came back with the second shot? What do you think I did when she came back with the second needle? Well, as she got close, of course, I flinched, right? I instinctively just like flinched because I didn't want it to hurt again. intellectually, I knew that she was there only to help me. But instinctively, you might say, I flinched because I didn't want the very medicine that I knew I needed to hurt the way that the first one did. We can flinch in life. We can recoil, you might say, in life. And I shared with the good people at Christ the Redeemer a quote from a really good friend of mine, Deacon Jim Keating. And he says this in one of his great articles, The Eucharist and the Healing of Our Affection for Sin. And I share this quote with you because it's one of my favorite. He says, and I quote, "With ever more accurate darts of love, the Holy Spirit opens our hearts before God so that deeper and more effective healing can occur." Let me say that again, right? With ever more accurate darts of love, the Holy Spirit opens our heart before God so that deeper and more effective healing can occur. I love that image. It's like the Holy Spirit's like just sharing these little darts of love. Stay with me for the rest of the quote. He says, and I quote, "At times, his coming is so pure that it causes us to recoil at the level of intimacy God wishes for us." Let me say that again. "At times, God's coming is so pure that we recoil at the level of intimacy God wishes to have in us." So why is it that we push people away? Why is it that I push the nurse away, right? Because sometimes people can get so close to the places in our hearts where we hurt that we recoil, we flinch, we push them away because they're getting too close to the hurt. Now, if Adam has that place in his heart and he pushes Eve away, you can imagine that Adam might push God away when God would get that close to his heart. Or if Eve has places of pain in her heart and she pushes her husband away, you can imagine that Eve might act the same way with God. I have a chapter in my heart that feels the same way. I was 22 when I graduated, after I graduated from Nichols and before I was in the seminary. I spent some time in Washington, D.C. working. And when I was 22, it was a period of my life where I had too much too fast. And it was a period of too much of everything. Too much gluttony, too much money, too much success, too much decadence, too much sin, too much of the world, too much of everything that was not of God. I look back on that period of my life, those 2 years, and it was almost as the saying goes, the best of times and the worst of times. You know, in the eyes of the world or in the eyes of everything that I dreamed life would be like when I was in college, I had everything I needed. I was on the fast track with probably the largest management consulting firm in the world. I was dating a beautiful woman. I was at an unparalleled time of success and worldly pleasure in my life, and yet at the same time, I knew it was the darkest time in my life morally, and I was not making choices for the Lord, and it was the best of times and the worst of times. And even though it was there that the voice of the Lord spoke to me about my call to the priesthood and an invitation to go to the seminary, I look back at that time in my life with great regret. I look back at that time in my life knowing that I have been absolved of my sin, but oftentimes not feeling like I'm able to forgive myself. I think a lot of us know what that's like. You ever confess a certain sin maybe two or three times because you didn't feel like the first time you were absolved that it took, or you weren't convinced that you were forgiven by God? But I think a lot of us know what it's like to feel like even though the church has forgiven us of sin, that we don't feel forgiven, or we just can't shake a season of our life. And that's what it was like for me. When I look back on my time in Washington, D.C., it's just, that's a part of my heart that anytime anybody gets too close to that or God gets too close to that, I just kind of flinch. I recoil at the level of intimacy that God wants to have with me. I push him away. So here we are. We know that God wants to have an encounter with us, And yet, we admit today that you and I can actually resist the encounter. Let me say that again. Week one of this series was all about the reality that God wants us to encounter him. And yet today we come face to face admitting that we can actually push him away. We can resist the encounter. Why? Because sometimes God gets too close and we push him away because of two things. Number one, in that pocket in our life, that memory or that season, we have a certain perception of who we are and we have a certain perception of who God is. So in Adam's heart, where he doesn't feel like he measures up, or in Eve's heart, where she feels like she lost her purity or innocence and she's dirty or whatever it is, both Adam and Eve have a perception of who they are. When I look back on that time in Washington, D.C., I have a perception of who I am. In the places of our life where we push God away, we have a perception of who we are. We also have a certain perception of who God is. And so if we feel like God is going to judge us, if we feel like God is going to punish us, if we feel like God is going to accuse us, then we can push God away because our perception of who we think he is. So many of us struggle in our relationship with God because of our perception of ourselves and our perception of who he is. And so in today's second reading from the book of Romans, we read very clearly that if God is for us, who can be against us? Romans chapter 8, it said, "Brothers and sisters, if God is for us, who can be against us? He who did not spare his own son, but handed him over for us all, how will he not also give us everything else along with him?" Romans 8, 31 and 32. Imagine that. God is for us. And what St. Paul lays out for us in the reading today, in the second reading, is this imagery of almost a courtroom. And you might say that in all of our hearts, there is a courtroom. There's a courtroom drama. And just as in every courtroom drama, there is a prosecuting attorney and there's a defense attorney. The prosecuting attorney in our spiritual life, in our heart, are the voices that accuse us of being a certain way and accuse God of being a certain way. And in this courtroom drama in our heart, there's a defense attorney who's defending us and who's defending God. Now, of course, we know that the scriptures clearly reveal to us that the voice of prosecution is not the voice of God. It's either the voice of our memory of ourselves or it's the voice of the enemy. And those voices, a prosecution that accuse us or God of being a certain way, that's what fuels the recoiling, the flinching, the pushing God away. Now, the defense attorney is speaking to us today in the scripture, right? In the Bible, we read that God is for us. And that's good news for all of us, that regardless of what has happened to you in your life, regardless of how it happened or why it happened or when it happened, and regardless, here's the good news, of how we perceive God to be in that moment of hurt or pain, whatever we believe to be true about God, here's the good news, God is for us. God never accuses us. God might want to talk to us about sin, but he only does so because he wants us to be free. God might bring us back to a painful memory in our life, but it's only so that he can be an agent of healing and freedom. God is for us, and that's the good news that we celebrate this Lent. And that's the good news that we celebrate in week two of our series called Rescued. God is for us. Now, we don't just need to hear that intellectually or think about that in some theoretical way, but the real freedom in our life comes when we let God in and when we choose to be, you might say, vulnerable enough or honest enough in relationship so that God can not only speak truth to us, but that we, as we experienced pain in the past, can experience freedom in our lives. And so we go back to the first week, which was all about encounter, right? It's the encounter with God, not the thinking about God. It's the encounter with God that changes our life. It's the encounter with a God who is for us that will give our lives a new horizon and a decisive direction. It's the encounter with a God that is for us precisely in those painful moments. That, my friends, is what's going to change our life. And that's what God wants for all of us this Lent. So here's the good news for all of us. God is for us, and he desires our freedom. And I want to encourage you to join us this Wednesday night at 6:30 at Christ the Redeemer for a powerful night of prayer entitled 3311. Again, if you didn't join us the first Wednesday, 3311 comes right out of the book of Exodus, chapter 33, verse 11, where we celebrate the fact that Moses used to speak to God face to face, as one man speaks to another, or as one friend speaks to a friend, or as one shares his heart with another, depending on the translation. That's what it is. It's about speaking God face to face and having his heart connect to our heart. And I just want to invite you, if you didn't get a chance to come last Wednesday, give us a shot. How about you come this Wednesday? We have childcare available. We have food before at 6 o'clock. Mass at 5:30. You want to join us for refreshments after. Then join us for 6:30. It's going to last till about 8 o'clock. Let me tell you what's going to happen. At 6:30, I'm going to have a few opening remarks just to kind of settle us. It's kind of like large group spiritual direction. Just welcome you wherever you're coming from. Hey, you don't have to be a certain way other than just open to what God wants to do. And so I'll open the night with some opening remarks, just words of encouragement. Then we're gonna dim the lights, really dim, have some beautiful music playing, and then we're just gonna expose the Blessed Sacrament. It's about an hour. I'll lead you through, you know, some prayer. I'll lead you through a guided meditation. But the whole night's really just about you and Jesus. And I can't tell you how many people have said to me that it is the most personal and profound encounter with God that they've ever had in their life. And just imagine what might be possible for you if you came. And just imagine one day if you came face to face with God and you realized what he wanted to give you, but you didn't get it because you didn't come. So how about you give us one Wednesday night, 6:30 to about 8 o'clock, for a night of prayer, for a night of encountering the Lord who is for us. Hey, if you can't make it this Wednesday, at least pray for us. We want to see you next Sunday, March the 4th, for week 3 in this series, where we're going to talk about the fact that we're thirsty. Here's where we're going to be going next Sunday, the third Sunday of Lent. If God wants to encounter us, right, and sometimes we push him away, then what can we expect to see in our life? What's going to then happen to us? So we're drawing you into your life, and we're going to expose the fact that a lot of us are thirsty. So if you ever just feel like there's more in a life than you're not getting, come this Sunday. We're going to unpack that together. And if you know somebody who's searching in life and has not found yet what they're searching for, bring them to Christ the Redeemer this Sunday for week 3 of our series called Rescued, as we talk this Sunday about how we're all thirsty. Let's keep praying for each other. I pray that this message brings some hope to you. Hope to see you this Wednesday night. And until we see you, God bless you.